The Lord be with you.
And with
you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "To you who hear, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. To the person who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other one as well. And from the person who takes your cloak, do not withhold even your tunic. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from the one who takes what is yours, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. For if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? If you lend money, even sinners do the same. And if you lend money to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners and get back the same amount. But rather, love your enemies and do good to them, and lend expecting nothing back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he himself is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Stop judging, and you will not be judged. Stop condemning, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and gifts will be given to you. A good measure, packed together, shaken down and overflowing, will be poured into your lap. For the measure with which you measure will in return be measured out to you." The Gospel of the Lord. This Gospel deserves a once upon a time so sorely needed. Once upon a time, Father Pastor decides to give a homily about loving the enemy. He says, "I'll bet that many of us feel we have enemies in our lives. So raise your hands if you have lots and lots of enemies." Quite a few people raise their hands. "Now raise your hands if you have only a few enemies." And about half as many raise their hands. "See," says Father, "most of us feel like we have enemies. Now raise your hands if you don't have enemies at all." And the pastor looks around. The people are looking around. They want to know who. And finally, way in the back, a very old gentleman raises his hand. He stands up and says, "I have no enemies whatsoever." Delighted, the priest invites the man to the front of the church. "What a blessing, sir. How old are you?" And the gentleman says, "I'm 98 years old and I have no enemies." The priest says, "What a wonderful Christian life you lead. Tell us all how it is that you have no enemies." "They're all dead." In the words of the Redemptorist priest, Father Jerry Pierce, "One of the most subtle ways in which we lose our freedom is our attitude toward others." David, soon to be king, teaches us about loving enemies. King Saul is jealous of the up-and-coming leader, David, son of Jesse. David proves to be a better army leader, and the people acknowledge his leadership in celebrations. David fears for his life, though, and he runs away with Saul in hot pursuit. And one night, as they pass out from drinking, David has a prime chance to murder King Saul. Saul passes out in the camp, not knowing that David and his soldiers walk among them at night. He takes the king's spear and water jug to prove to Saul that he means no harm to him. One of the most subtle ways in which we lose our freedom is our attitude towards people. Now, we could take a survey, probably find out that we all have enemies. But I bet and I wonder if we are a lot like the 98-year-old man who stood up and said, "I don't have any enemies." But what about those people we disagree with? And not only disagree with, but we consider them downright wrong and maybe even evil? To illustrate, last Thursday, many of us took part in a synod on the synodality of the church. And one person shared that she believes that the polarization of our country with politics is now here at the Villa. And I found out that the discussion of politics is verboten here. And I would even add that if we cannot discuss politics civilly, I bet we are unable to discuss religion civilly. So, in a word, as your chaplain, does the Villa need a synod? One of the most subtle ways to lose my freedom is my attitude towards a person who voted for the other side or prays in another way or understands God differently than me. And one of the most subtle ways to lose my freedom is to vilify someone because of the ballot box. Or worse, what side of the church I stand theologically. Jesus tells us in plain language, agape your enemy. Love unconditionally. And we say, "What enemy, Lord? I don't have an enemy." In the words of St. Paul, how does our lack of acceptance of one another, or how does the lack of civil discussion, bear the image of the heavenly man from heaven? We have one more time to gather as a community to enter into a synod on the synodality of the church this Thursday at 3:00. We have strong opinions about the universal church, and that's good. But there's a glaring question in our own community right now. And that question is this: are we losing our freedom as the people of God because of our attitudes towards one another?